We all know about the damaging power of words. Words that tear relationships apart. Words that tear families apart. Words that tear hearts apart. Words of prejudice, hate, or racism. Words that have manifested into violence from Charleston to Ferguson.
That's the Reverend Susan Sparks. I'm Peter Wallace. Join us for some conversation and a powerful message of faith. Today on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thanks, Sherry. We're glad to welcome back to Day One today the Reverend Susan Sparks, the senior pastor of the historic Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York, New York. Formerly a trial lawyer and for many years now a stand-up comedian, she is a graduate of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where she earned a law degree, and Union Theological Seminary in New York City. She's also the author of the book, Laugh Your Way to Grace. Susan, thanks for being with us again.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Last week, you brought us up to speed with the ministries and the people of Madison Avenue Baptist Church, and one thing you talked about was your cyberspace ministries. You're serving two congregations, the ones in the pews and those tuning into services via the web. And you talked a little bit about the expansion of ministry outside of the New York City area by partnering with local on-site mission activities. And I love that idea. You mentioned working with Union Seminary on that. How is that unfolding?
Peter, it's been the best experience. I am very honored to be part of a group called the Visioning Project, which is about 12 ministers that were invited to participate. We've been together for 2 years, and it's a Lilly-funded project. Mm-hmm. And we spent each quarter of each year focusing on different aspects of society and ways that we could use them to engage ministry. One of those quarters was actually cyberspace, mm-hmm. social media, mm-hmm. and how you could engage the power of the internet. And so part of my project through this visioning project is figuring out what can we do at Madison. We may be a small congregation in terms of number of people, mm-hmm. but we're a big voice and kind of like a corgi, you know, little dog thinks it's a big dog. But our family wants to be able to take the message and the love and the inclusiveness that we have out in a big way. Mm-hmm. And the internet is that venue. I'm actually looking for my project at gaming theory, if you can imagine that. There's been some studies about how people are flocking to online games, not mm-hmm. the violent, awful ones that we hear about, but ones that are called games for change, where people come together to like crack the code for Alzheimer's or do cancer research or help people find clean water. And they're coming globally by the millions to this project and these projects. And one of the reasons is because, you know, it taps into a human need to be part mm-hmm. of something greater and to be needed and actually engage. So we're trying to take how they've used that in gaming and parallel it into the mm-hmm. church. It's the mm-hmm. same principle. We're all trying to do a project together. We're trying to move forward together. So how do we make sure that we tap that energy? People are flocking to games. People are leaving the church. There's something to be learned.
Hmm. And your multifaceted ministries continue. You speak regularly at churches and conferences, colleges and universities, doing keynote addresses or comedy stand-up. What are you up to on that front, and why is that an important outreach for you?
Oh, thanks for asking that, Peter. I have a number of different hats that I wear mm-hmm. outside of Madison, although when I do a speech or a comedy routine or anything that's outside the church, I consider it, and I think the church does too, a continuation of the mm-hmm. ministry. Part of it is reaching out to cancer survivors, for mm-hmm. example. I'm a breast cancer survivor, so I do a lot of work with health and wellness and hospitals and survivors and caregivers about the power of humor and healing. So I'm, booked into 2018 at this point. I'm so excited to say with gatherings and conferences like that. I continue to be on the road with my dear friend Rabbi Bob Alper mm-hmm. and Mo Amir, the Muslim comic that we work together in the Laugh and Peace Tour, where we, the three of us are on stage using humor to bring a different light to religion and ethics and culture. And to me, that's a very powerful voice. It's a very fulfilling thing because you don't see a lot of that happening. You don't see humor being used to bring people together, build these bridges. All we see is people being torn down through the headlines and through the media. And so we're doing our little part to bring it back together. Mm.
And you are the author of a wonderful book, Laugh Your Way to Grace, for Skylight Paths. And now I understand you're working on a webinar on humor, primarily for clergy, which sounds a little weird. What will that focus on?
It does, but it's not. I've been really excited to do several workshops, one for Princeton Theological, one for Yale, one for Union, on how humor comes into play in ministry. Part of it is pastoral care, part of it is self-care, and then part of it is looking at humor as a rhetorical tool for preaching. And so I have a business partner now, a gentleman named Nick Mosca, who graduated from Harvard Divinity, and he's the only other human being I've found that actually did an honors thesis on humor and religion. So the two of us have connected, and we're putting together a webinar so that this can be accessed not just from us going on site, but on the internet. We're actually calling it Web-ha-nars. Get it? But that should be, if it's not up and going by the broadcast date, then we should definitely have it soon after that. Just go to my website, susansparks.com, and we should have access to it.
And lately, you've been practicing your own self-care by taking up boxing and buying a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. I don't think many of our other pastors could say that.
Well, Peter, you know, we all find solace and comfort where we do. I started taking boxing, and, you know, as a preacher, I find that my best sermons come out of experiencing kind of new and exciting things. So if I take a boxing class, not only is it fun for me, but I learned maybe a different way to come at faith. I did a sermon called Fighting Stance Faith that was all about how boxing is not about the punching, it's about where you plant your feet. Mm-hmm. And so that was a fun message to develop. And as for the Harley, yes, my husband and I love to ride Harley Davidsons. And as you will hear in the sermon, we have had the opportunity to travel all over. But there's something about, again, that experience that really breaks open fresh new ideas for preaching. I have gotten some of my best sermons out of that. My favorite all time was Hell's Angels We Have Heard on High. But it's about coming at the world, about faith, about the message with a fresh new perspective. Jesus did it too. You know, instead of saying to get a rich man into heaven is hard, he said, it's like trying to shove a camel through the eye of a needle. It's all about taking a fresh approach, and it feeds me. And in the end, I think it ends up feeding the message.
Well, your sermon today draws from several scripture passages in today's lectionary, one of which is John chapter 13. Would you read that for us?
Yes. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
That's a pretty straightforward job description for followers of Jesus, wouldn't you say?
Well, it is. I'm not sure how well we do it. You know, I was looking back at that passage and, you know, looking at the context of it, I think it even becomes more powerful because here Jesus has just finished washing the feet of the disciples and he's just finished, you know, the Last Supper, and he realizes this is the end. And he's watching them fight amongst each other in all different ways. And I can imagine him just looking at them saying, please, please, just love one another. It's not that hard. Just do it, because that's what my whole message has been. Honor my legacy. And I'm sure this to this day, it's still the same thing. It must be so frustrating from a heavenly perspective to see people fighting against one another, children of God, all made in the image of God, fighting against one another when the energy should be pointed forward on healing and moving us all to a greater place of, you know, alleviating pain and bringing up the world into hope and joy.
Mm. Susan, we look forward to learning more about this in your sermon today. Check your weapons at the door. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Peter.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of Susan Sparks' sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
A About 4 years ago, my husband Toby and I were on a motorcycle trip, riding through Yellowstone National Park. Somewhere near Yellowstone Lake, I had an unfortunate collision with a bug at 70 miles per hour. I will spare you the gory details, but suffice it to say that the collision required a visit to the local hospital in Cody, Wyoming, just outside the west entrance of the park. As we entered the hospital, we noticed a big sign on the front door: "Check your weapons at the door." As we found out later, the sign was put up because many of the patrons of the hospital, it being Wyoming and all, would show up for treatment packing heat. I've never forgotten that sign and have thought of it often, as I believe "check your weapons at the door" is a good instruction not only for a hospital, but also for life. There are a lot of weapons floating around these days. On the international scene, there are nukes, drone strikes, and WMDs, weapons of mass destruction. Here in the United States, we have a serious problem with gun control. Did you know that more than 30,000 people are killed by firearms each year in this country? That's more than the population of the town I grew up in western North Carolina. But here's the thing. Even with the nukes and the drones and the automatic weapons, there's an equally scary, perhaps even more dangerous, weapon still at large. And we each have one. Each of us was born with our own personal WMD, the human tongue. Proverbs 12:18 explains, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." We all know about the damaging power of words. We've all been on the receiving and giving end of words that sting us like a bug at 70 miles per hour. Words that tear relationships apart. Words that tear families apart. Words that tear hearts apart. Words of anger, words of jealousy, words of resentment, insecurity, or fear. Words of prejudice, hate, or racism. Words that have manifested into violence from Charleston to Ferguson. We all know about the damaging power of words. And please understand that when I say words, I mean spoken and written. Remember that our fingers are extensions of our mouths. Texts, emails, and social media postings can also be considered weapons. For example, did you know that 52% of our young people report being cyberbullied? The old bully on the playground has now found a hiding place behind a computer screen. Even more alarming is a report by Yale University that found that bullying victims are up to 10% more likely to consider suicide. Whether it's spoken, written, texted, or tweeted, this arms race of words has to stop. We must check our weapons at the door. Jesus made this crystal clear with his words in the book of John. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Obviously, we can't live that legacy of love that Jesus commanded if we can't control our tongue and our words. Let me offer three ideas of how we can check our weapons at the door. Of course, you know it has to be three ideas. That's because life comes in threes. First, you believe in Santa. Then you don't believe in Santa. And finally, you are Santa. So, the first way we can check our weapons at the door is to take responsibility for what we say or write. Sometimes I'm afraid we treat words like I cook spaghetti. In short, sloppy. I've never been an exacting kind of cook. I just throw the noodles against the wall and see what sticks. As you can imagine, I have a pretty messy kitchen. I'm afraid we treat words like that too. We just throw them out randomly and see what sticks. But unlike spaghetti, words always stick. They stick and we can't take them back. Oh, we'd like to. It's probably the one time in life we wish we had autocorrect. The stupid automatic spell check on smartphones that changes words to things we never meant to type. Sadly, there's no autocorrect excuse in life. Words stick, and we can't take them back. Dodgers legend Willie Davis explained the danger. If you step on people in this life, then more than likely, you're going to come back as a cockroach. The second way we can check our weapons at the door is to be quiet and listen. One of my favorite lessons about being quiet came from my adopted Jewish grandmother, Nana Gert. She was the matriarch of a dear friend's family. At 89, she would still cook huge high holiday meals. I asked her one time how she had the energy, and she said, "Well, I just don't wait for Friday Shabbat to rest. Anytime I'm tired, I say, Shabbat, why not?" A great lesson for us all, especially when it comes to our mouths. We must learn to take a Shabbat for our mouths and listen. Said another way in Psalm 141:3, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Sadly, the reality is that as human beings, we love to talk, to tell others what we think, and to lecture others about what is right and what is wrong. It's like the old saying goes, "Folks that think by the inch and talk by the yard should be shown the door by the foot." The problem is that when we do nothing but talk, we lose all opportunity to listen. The author Stephen Covey explained, "Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply." In any conversation, there are two parts, the mouth and the heart. When we listen to reply, we're only listening to the words. If we are truly listening to understand, then we hear not only from the mouth, but also from the heart. The third and final way we can check our weapons at the door is to recognize that our words can change the world for better or for worse. Let me offer you two examples. Last year, while I was sitting with my husband as he waited to go in for surgery, we overheard a conversation between the doctor and the other patient in the waiting room. The doctor entered the room and without even a good morning said, "You're going to hate me after this surgery. It's one of the most painful procedures I do." Wow. Can you imagine the negative impact of those words on the patient, his family, his recovery? Here's another example. Last fall, I was walking through Madison Square Park in New York City, watching a father play catch with his tiny son. The boy was just old enough to hold a glove, and the dad was standing almost on top of him so that the ball, when tossed, would be sure to land in his glove. After a few missed throws, the father basically dropped the ball into his son's glove and then exclaimed, "Good job! I am so proud of you!" Can you imagine the positive impact of those words on that little boy? It was like putting a positive footprint in the wet cement of that little boy's psyche. It's just as Proverbs teaches, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." No matter who our audience, whether a child, a coworker, a family member, a friend, or a complete stranger, people are hungry for love and affirmation. With every word we speak,
We are changing the world. The questions I leave you with are these. Are we changing the world for the better or for the worse? Do your words lift people up and leave them better than you found them? Or is your mouth a weapon of mass destruction? Remember Jesus' teaching, love one another, for that is how we will be known as his disciples. Let's make our words be a tool of healing, not hurt. Let's make our words change the world for the better. Let's agree, together, to check our weapons at the door. Let us pray. Gracious God, may we be mindful of the power of our words so that we may strive to use them for healing, for good, and to glorify your name. Amen.
The Reverend Susan Sparks was our preacher for today. Susan is the senior pastor of Madison Avenue Baptist Church in New York City. For a free transcript of her message, check your weapons at the door. Call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week on Day 1, we're honored to have with us Lindsay Popper, the 2015 recipient of the David H.C. Reed Preacher Scholar Award, given by Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York, New York. Lindsay is in the ordination process in the United Church of Christ and is serving at Allen Congregational Church, UCC, in Dedham, Massachusetts. Her message is entitled, The Courage of Easter People. You won't want to miss it. This October, Day One invites you to join Peter Marty on a Mediterranean cruise, focusing on the journeys of the Apostle Paul. It's an unforgettable faith-building experience. For information, visit dayone.org/travel. Now, Susan Sparks offers some final reflections on today's sermon with our host, Peter Wallace.
Susan, that must have been some bug you had a collision with while riding that motorcycle. You said when you went to the hospital, you noticed the big sign, check your weapons at the door, and it was Wyoming after all. But you said that's also a good instruction for life, because one of the weapons we are so good at using is our tongue, our words. And you quoted Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And you noted that it's not only about our spoken words, but written words too, on social media and tweets and so forth. They can be devastating to others. Do we just not think about how our words might hurt someone else before we launch them?
I don't, Peter. I don't think we think about it at all. People, you know, especially with the internet, where there's this wall that you can hide behind, whether it's a tweet or a text or a post on Facebook, I've seen some vicious things come out like that. And even one-on-one, standing talking to somebody, I don't think people, they just blurt out what their emotions tell them. It's maybe it's out of fear, maybe it's a self-doubt, maybe it's a lack of self-worth, but we just speak what our hearts are screaming, and we don't scream, and we don't think, how is it going to affect the other person?
You said we can't live in the love for others as Jesus commanded us if we can't control our tongue and our words. And you gave us three ways to do that. First is to take responsibility for what we say or write. Second is to be quiet and listen. That one seems so hard in today's world, doesn't it?
It does. Well, when every second is filled with sound bites and, you know, the media coming in and the televisions and walking to church, I go through close to Times Square. Well, that's kind of, I think, a good representation of our heads.
Yeah.
You know, just glaring big lights and noises all the time. And, you know, to try to really quiet it down and hear the soft voice of one's heart is, it's very difficult these days.
But it can be done.
It can be done if we will take the discipline to quiet ourselves and then remember from whence we came.
Mm. And finally, you advise us to recognize that our words can change the world for better or worse. We should ask ourselves, do our words lift people up and leave them better than we found them? Or is our mouth a weapon of mass destruction? So how do we grow to be more positive and loving with our words?
Well, I always think about my mom and dad. They said, used to say, leave things better than you found them, which at the time I believe meant my room. But as I got older, I thought that's really great. That's just great advice because it's, again, baby steps towards a goal. Leave things better than you found them. Leave your community in some tiny way better than you found them. Leave your community of faith. Leave your job. Leave your family. Leave Mother Earth in some way better than you found it. And that's every day. That's our goal. We go to bed and think, how did I leave it? One step better.
Susan, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
Think before you speak. Think before you speak.
Susan Sparks, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.